episode 447 of Global From Asia, the Canton Fair Evolution with Steven Selikoff. Let's tune in today. We're doing it on the floor at the show.
Welcome to the Global From Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Thank you so much to listen or watch this episode of the Global From Asia podcast, 447 shows, and I'm here still in Guangzhou, China, just before I head out to Chiang Mai for a cross-border summit. Steven is joining us too there, and I am doing a little show with him on the fly. We talk about the evolution that he has seen in Canton Fair over the years. Some tips and some hacks on finding products and pricing and negotiations. And I learned a few things too. It's a really insightful show. And it's fun. We got people walking behind us. I found a little booth. They let me plug in this camera to record. And I'm really excited for this. So let's tune in. And after, I'll do some things I've learned from the show. Take care. Are you looking for USA banking solutions for your e-commerce business? I am proud to say Mercury.com is supporting the podcast here third year in a row at Global From Asia, and we're proud to say it because we use them ourselves for many of our own Amazon brands and e-commerce brands and joint ventures with our US structures, and they're super easy to do, online application, no fees, and they have great customer support, have helped us with trouble with Amazon Seller Central over the years about some receipts and statements and everything like that. So we're so happy to say thank you, Mercury, for supporting our show, being a great service and supporting other e-commerce sellers. We're really proud to say they're a sponsor here. And we also have a video tutorial as well as an overview and a special link with a little bonus for you as well for us under certain conditions. Check it out at globalfromasia.com/mercury for that information. Thank you for listening and thank you, Mercury. All right, thanks everybody for tuning in to our Global From Asia podcast. I have my friend and returning podcast guest, Steve Selikoff, back on the show. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing, Mike?
Good, good. I got the glasses. It's Friday.
I know. You're rocking it.
I mean, they think I'm like a, you know, really can take pictures with me at the booth.
You're a movie star.
Movie star. Trying to have fun today. You know, these things are intense, right? The Canton Fair.
It's an endurance run.
Yeah, it's definitely an intense time. So I'm just trying to have fun today on Friday. We have a nice booth letting us use their power. She's also a self-media learning student, asking me some questions. But today we're talking about trends that you've seen about Canton Fair and over the years. So, you know, you have a group, you take your students here, you do Product Development Academy, you have a great book. How many times now? Do you keep track? How many times?
I don't keep track.
You don't keep track anymore.
No, so all I know is that Chris Davey has gotten more than me, and he's gotten more than most people because he came here when it kind of opened during Canton Fair, pandemic.
Yeah, so we also.
He's always going to beat everyone.
Yeah, he has more because, the coronavirus just, there's like a black hole of years for us. And this isn't.
In my mind, it's always, it's just like pre and post pandemic. Mm-hmm. Does this occur post pandemic, pre pandemic? It's weird.
I've been calling it like ABCAC.
Like, before COVID, after COVID.
It's like, you know, yeah, AD, BC. So it's like, what is this, 3 years after it? I think it opened a few years ago, right?
It opened, so this is, it opened 2 Aprils ago. So 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, that was much less crowded.
Yeah.
And as soon as they announced that they had visas going on again, they still had the old ones canceled, so you had to get new ones. And flew down to San Francisco, because that was the only one I could go to from Seattle, and they were taking walk-ins. And my friend Aaron Biner had found some guy to stand online. So this guy like stood online for like 12 hours or something like that. And then he stood online for me 23 hours. I flew down from Seattle, and this guy was online, and I got there, and slept the night, the next morning came over, paid him, took his spot, went in. I had to be here.
It was amazing. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'd say it's kind of back, I don't even remember how it was before, but I feel like we're back to normal.
I would say we're back to normal, less Westerners, more people from BRIC countries.
True. That's true. I heard a lot of Spanish. I'm hearing a lot of Spanish lately.
Yeah, a lot of from Brazil, Portuguese, a lot from India, even though it's Diwali right now, so.
India, the big holiday, you're right. Yeah, that's a good point. I sat next to somebody on the bus today from Dubai, first time. He's doing sunglasses. Actually, that's how I put the, they're not his sunglasses, but I had mine in my bag and he was looking at them and talking about it. But that's, his sunglasses, first time in the Canton Barre from Dubai.
I got my Hugo Boss here. Should I dig them out and put them on? All right, let's do the sunglasses thing.
Today is Friday. So we're in phase three. And phase three has changed, right? Like, actually, the sunglasses guy, he messed up. Actually, there's no sunglasses in phase three, though. He says that he found out that they're in phase two. They switched them.
They switched them. Yeah, and the big thing is that they switched toys.
Oh,
so
can we go? I got the sunglasses.
There we go. Now we got the look guard.
So he's actually really disappointed because he thought phase three was sunglass sports. But I guess they just shift things around. Phase three is not any bigger. It's busier than phase two.
It spread out some of that busyness from phase two into phase three. So now they're both busy. The hotels are loving it.
Yeah, because phase three, I don't think I used to really spend time at phase three personally. I remember it used to be clothes or babies, I think.
Baby clothes, adult clothes, sportswear, shoes, camping, and home textiles.
Okay.
So I was here all the time for home textiles.
I was always
two. Pets. But vaguely, I remember years and years ago pets being in phase two. But I can't even, I'm just old. I may just be forgetting because I would always come for two and three.
Yeah.
But toys used to be two, now they're three.
They moved that, okay. So I remember, and mostly it was just phase one and two. Three, at least, most of my friends and I and sellers I knew didn't really do three or four, unless there was some special category. But now, like you said, they've evened it out. One is the electronics, which I don't do electronics, but I mean, I know a lot of the electronics, but most people come for two and now three, which is...
Yeah, the only times I've ever came for phase one, besides for customers and students, is for home electronics and industrial chemicals. So I had a product where I needed industrial-sized drums of surfactant, and that's just a crazy world.
Yeah, electronics... It's so hard. I forget. It's like, well, every category, you've got to become an expert. I've learned this the hard way. When I was first starting out, I kind of was, I could pick products between categories, either sourcing or anything. You got to really know your product, right? I mean, to do it well.
The trick on that, and I love this, two things. One is on YouTube, you can watch old episodes of How It's Made.
All right.
And How It's Made is great. They show factories and stuff like that. And the other, this is like one of my favorite tricks. Credit goes to Kian Golzari for this idea.
All right.
Find a factory that you don't like.
Okay.
And just go there and ask them every question in the world. Learn on their dime everything. And then when you go to the factory you like, you already appear like what you're doing. You're knowledgeable. So.
I did that with a booth here. There wasn't even a category I liked. I wasn't even a product I wanted. I was just showing my friend how I do it. So I just, let's go into this booth.
Yeah.
And I just started picking. It's kind of like, it's almost like dating, right? Like if
I'm not sure if that analogy works. Find one you don't like, learn everything you can, and then go to the good one.
Warm up. When I was trying to, loosen up at a bar to talk to girls, I would sometimes talk to one that I did mind if she rejected me. And maybe the more rejection you get,
I guess it works. The analogy works.
So it's practice. You get tons of practice here at Canton Barre. So like you're students too, right?
Oh my goodness! The confidence level they have now is fantastic.
True.
I'm thrilled.
That's great.
I'm sitting here.
Yeah,
first day, it's like text. Can you come here? Can you come here? Can you help? Now it's phase three. It's like everyone's off on their own. They're doing their thing. They're negotiating. They're helping each other out.
It's great. Yeah. So I don't know. I like to do like the first day I go to factories I'm already buying from, calls to them, and then phase the day two is maybe I go back to this again. I like to see him sometimes 2 days in a row, personally, because it kind of builds a little bit more of a remembering and a relationship.
And usually the first day, I tell myself I'm going to go through and find everything that's interesting, take pictures of the booth numbers and stuff like that. But if something's particularly compelling, I can't help myself. I'll sit down, I'll start talking with them and stuff like that. So, best laid plans. I don't think I've ever actually just walked through without stopping on the first day of any phase ever. Yeah. It's just too many exciting things here.
So many ideas.
You know, there's things you haven't seen before. The first day, if you're gonna get an exclusive, you wanna talk to them on the first day and have them pull it off the display as quickly as possible.
That's a good point.
You know? And that's probably one of the big things. So we're talking about what things have changed. One of the big things is that e-commerce has changed. You know, there's Amazon's direct from factory to Amazon division. We don't know what's gonna happen with that. Yeah, we don't know if somebody's going to open up Amazon, say, yeah, I wanna get this, I don't know, back massager. And it says, we have cheaper ones in this other division. You have no idea. And then there's a bunch of others that are doing the same thing. Of course, everyone knows about Temu. And Shein, 1688 is, you know, I'm not supposed to talk about that, but I've stopped the prohibition there. I'm talking about it. 1688 is coming out with a US friendly based interface. In fact, there's gonna be 9 platforms that people can look at. Amazon, discount. Amazon, because there's so many Amazon sellers, us Chinese sellers. And then 7 more platforms that they can go to, all with inexpensive, cheap prices. So you come here on the first day, speed walk through it, find the products, the new innovations that you really like, sit down, negotiate out a exclusive and have them pull it off the display. Because this way, that exclusive has got to include any of the new cross-border e-commerce platforms that are coming out. And you're the only one selling it. That's one of the ways to compete these days. And that's one of the things that's completely different. So you gotta be used to that, you know?
Great value right there. It makes you share it out in this. They're bringing their new products here. So then you hit them right in the morning, right on day one of fees, and then you try to get them exclusive TV.
Yeah, and once it's exclusive, take it off display.
Like US exclusive?
Global exclusives. Yeah, I have one kitchenware product, and I went to see them and talk with them and everything, and knew what I wanted, but they had to, you know, decide whether or not to give me an exclusive. They took it off the shelf, went back to talk to them about it, and they couldn't find it. And so someone put it back on the shelf. And then I got a text saying, oh, we found it, it's over here. So they had taken it off the shelf, just nobody told each other where they put it. So, but the other thing is also innovation, differentiation. When I'm here, I teach everyone how to negotiate, but then we also go around the fair, they shadow me as I negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
So we found a place that does plushies or stuffies, whatever you call them, from wherever in the world you are, they call different things. And just went through my phone and came up with some animals I saw when I was at the Australia Zoo. You get to hold the animals and pet them. So found some animals and said, can we do this? I'll show you one right here. This was really cool. Is that like the cutest animal ever?
It looks like a plushie.
That's a real animal. It's called a red panda.
It's so fun, people are walking by or like live here on the floor.
This place is gigantic. For people who are not aware, the Canton Fair is the largest exposition space in the world. Mm-hmm. For a while, people were saying that the space in Frankfurt was larger, where they do Abianche and Christmas World. I was out there last February, and it's not larger. But just to be sure, they built this whole section D's.
Yeah. Sometimes somebody says I'm in D, and then I'm in like, what's that one, B?
B is all the way down there.
That's because you got the golf carts. Well, you can walk it.
I just walk. Oh, that's the one C. Yeah, I just walk
C,
it.
That's C. That's
my doctor wants me to lose weight, so I'm trying to walk.
It is good exercise. The steps, mine was like, I don't know how many miles I did on my order here.
See, now as long as my phone's in my hand, I'm going to look. So I'm up to 6,283, but I got long legs.
Okay.
So.
Listen, we're only at noon. We're like midday.
Yeah.
It's still probably more than halfway to go.
So that's one thing that's different. Another is the economy. I have never seen suppliers so eager to make deals.
It does seem that way.
You know, I did one, well, talking about the shadow negotiations. So I'm teaching my folks how to negotiate. And we brought the price down from $4 to $2.14 per unit.
Okay.
Because they want to make deals. They want to make deals. And if you're a Westerner, even more so. So this is the time.
Yeah, you can definitely feel it all agreeing. I was finding you and one grabbed me. She's like, I could do a QC on this row. And she's trying to scan my QR code. Like I have to meet, but they're definitely more hungry than ever.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, there's just so much you can do without being here for that.
I know.
Prior to COVID, everyone would come here. You know, if you're doing products, you come to the Canton Fair. You touch and feel the products. You compare one to another, right next to each other. You can do in a half a day what it takes you 6 months to do from home without the cost of shipping.
True.
And if you talk to your accountant, this whole damn thing, can I say that?
I think it's okay.
Okay, this whole thing can be deducted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a direct expense. So it shouldn't be costing you anything. And you can do so much so quickly and just catapult your career forward.
Agreed. So making deals is a good point. You know, maybe I'm doing it wrong, but I personally don't like. Actually, I talked to current supplier and I'm talking about a new product I'm thinking about and I'm trying to see his new products. But you know, he's took down some of my ideas. Like I do with like one of my categories, like men's gift.
Right. Yeah. We've
talked.
About yeah, it. We've done that. Yeah.
So I was saying like maybe playing cards and a bottle opener and like you know in a box. And he says he'll give me a quote later. Well, he gave me an estimate, but I personally usually still follow up after. But I like the face-to-face time. That's my favorite.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's, being face-to-face, there's no comparison. So in China, just historically, 20% of that negotiation is talking.
Yeah.
The rest of it is interaction. In-person, face-to-face interaction. You know, it's like, if you don't have the numbers, if you don't know the product, if you don't know what you're doing, you're gonna tank.
Mm-hmm.
But if all of that, you can get much further. Thank you. Oh, you're gonna come in.
This is the cat. They're coming. Food is here.
McDonald's is here. For people who are not familiar with China, that's how you call out to someone else. You don't say, hey, and stuff like that.
It's funny because the English word is lie, but lie in Chinese means come, come, come.
Yeah.
Lie, lie, lie. It's screaming like lie, 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 lie.
Well, the other thing is in China, it's like, you know, if it's something important, you don't say it once.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, 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 no.
Exactly.
So where was I going with?
We're
oh, yeah, yeah.
About the pricing.
Yeah, so price of
FaceTime.
Yeah, FaceTime, relationship, all of the non-verbal things that lets them know you're serious. If they know that you're a boss, if they know that what you're doing, if you have confidence, they want to deal with you. And you can't convey that in a text or an email.
Yeah. So I went to a factory, which means there's phase two and three, a factory I buy from, and there was no production happening. It was quiet.
What day was it, Saturday or Sunday?
I knew it was a weekend, but I didn't try to record on my phone. See, it was Monday. Monday or Tuesday this week, maybe Tuesday.
So the first thing always to check when you find that out, if all the stations are empty, just look to see if they have chairs sitting there or not. If they don't have chairs, then that factory's in financial problems. If they do have chairs, then maybe for some reason that shift was off for something, you know, there's no production going on. but if there's no chairs, go into a factory that's quiet, maybe. Go into a factory that's quiet on a work day and there's no chairs, it's a no-go.
So,
did you take pictures?
I didn't take photos. I went to the showroom, but she was actually telling me she's not doing it. I bought for her 3 times, my 4th order. And she says, you know, there's the ones in Ningbo, Zhejiang. She says her port is better, but she sees people going to Ningbo. She's in Dolbot. So she says, but her quality is so good. And, you know, she can make me anything. She's almost like openly saying, she's even openly saying she's not getting customers.
So how did you handle it?
I just told her, I'm still going to keep buying from you. I like your quality. I like doing business with you. And she, and the really crazy, I think you know my wife, Wendy, has GFA.
Yeah.
The English learning. She's complaining about the school costs. And she's thinking she maybe will use the online classes to learn English with my wife. Because she knows my wife through WeChat. But we took a picture together and she's so excited. She's so much, I never met her in person actually. I tried during COVID, but I couldn't get to Dongguan. So she's so happy. She really wants to work with us more than ever. I mean, I am a little bit concerned her business is doing well, to be honest.
Yeah, I would.
You can steal this issue.
I gave a talk for Alibaba in front of 2,000 suppliers. And I had no problem talking to them straight. I said, you know, it's things like stop using your customers' photos. Don't even ask them what their website is. That's just, they're happy to talk about everything, but don't say that. It doesn't build trust. You know, it's and as you know, every time you do something, a serious talk like that, they preview everything. So.
I know, they already have to check this.
Oh yeah, so I had a list of things I thought they were gonna take some of them off because some of them were pretty harsh. I'm talking right to the suppliers, but you know, I wanna defend, you know, Western sellers. So I told them all this, but I also, you know, I sandwiched it with all the good things the factories do. And one of the things I pointed out is that Chinese customer service reps are the best in the world. People fall in love with their customer reps. Their sales reps, you know, they'll share about their family, whatever. I know someone who came to the Canton Fair, thought she twisted her ankle, ended up, she had broken it, and the sales rep, who she didn't even use, kept up conversations for the next 6 months, how you doing, how's you know, recovering. They really build this loyalty, and that's one of the things they do good. So I know, and I'm probably feeling this is you as well, but I know a lot of people who find out that their factory's a little bit too expensive, a little bit slow, not meeting deadlines, but they have such a relationship with the sales rep that they stay.
Yeah.
You know, you like the sales rep, she's built up a relationship with you and your family.
Yeah.
And you're looking to stay even though your head's saying, hey, there's something wrong here.
Well, I mean, someone's admitting that it's cheaper in Zhejiang.
Yeah.
But she's trying to defend by her quality. I guess she's losing business.
Very first thing I do, we start off with a classroom day. Very first thing we say in the classroom is, why are you here? Why are you doing this? And the answer is straightforward. We're doing this to make money. You can love doing it. You can love the whole experience, but we're doing it to make money. And you just have to keep coming back to that. That doesn't mean you screw over your supplier. You know, if things go well, you can tell your supplier, I want you to make money. I want to make money. I want my retailers to make money. I want my customers to be happy. But if you do that, it all works. But if you're not thinking about money, you start making decisions that you regret later on. So we've got people coming here right now. So I'm going to do a quick shout out here to CVC Inspections. They're doing this there. They're letting us use their tables and stuff like that.
I'm going to get the younger sales rep maybe on the here. She did video, which she gave up because she says it was not many views. There was a lot of work. And she does photos now. She's a local function person. But yeah, it's busy. Also, logistics, I guess for us, it's a service provider role. But yeah, I think we're at the 25 minute, you know, I think we're at a good price points in our schedule. You know, again, it was a little bit last minute. Appreciate you coming on. I thought it'd be fun.
We'll be up in Chiang Mai. We got to do that again.
Cross Border Summit's coming. I really appreciate you coming again. And that's, yeah, it's going to be happening just in a few days. This show will come online next Tuesday, which will be during the day two. I think I'll be arriving that evening.
Yeah. Super excited. So if anyone has not gone to his summit, you got to put it on the list for next year. I mean, the energy is there, not only the energy, but the networking.
Yes.
The networking that I went through last year has benefited like tenfold.
Wow, that's crazy.
You know, and just last month we were together with Don and Don.
Yep.
You know, it's like these are people I only know because of your summit.
Wow, so
it's you know, that lots of people say this summit, that summit, networking this, networking that. Your summit, the people you put together, is truly magical.
Okay. That really means a lot, Steve. Thank you so much. I think it's a great way to end this show. And then you have Product Development Academy. It's happening now.
Yeah, we're doing well. We've got one of our people's. So this is going to go live Tuesday?
This will be on Tuesday.
Good. So Wednesday, we've got one of our folks in Australia is going to be on Shark Tank.
Whoa.
Exciting. So that's happening. Lots of other exciting things going on. The products are extraordinary. I think I showed you a couple of them.
I saw some.
And these are things that people talk about. These are career making, life changing money coming from products that are just like, wow. I love it. This is the best thing in the world.
Like I was in one of your sessions here with your group, and there's even the attendees talking, you know, students talking to each other, sharing what they're knowing and their products, their work.
Oh, it's just there's a real sense of family.
Great.
Yeah, but we're all in it to make money.
Yeah, that's what we got to remember. So thanks everybody for watching. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Global From Asia, and see you in the next episode.
Save the date, Cross Border Summit 2024 is coming back. 2023's was epic, never got such great feedback in all of our events. Cross Border Summit 2024, we're planning already a year in advance. It is a full week of amazing things. There's pre-events, post-events, workshops, trainings, elephant sanctuaries. We have a lot of amazing things here in Chiang Mai, Thailand again. So I would love to see you there. We've already pre-sold some tickets to previous people. We will be opening up tickets soon. Subscribe to get updates at 2024.crossbordersummit.com. Also check out videos and testimonials from last year as well as all of our years. We did them in China, and this will be our sixth one. It will be great to meet you there and network and make some great relationships. I can't wait. November 2024.
Thank you so much, Steven. I really, really appreciate that. It's always a pleasure. He's also come to the summit, which is amazing. And he said such great things even after the recording about how he really made some good connections at the Cross Border Summit last year. So I was happy to see him come back. Actually, quite a few people are coming back. They really enjoyed it. And that's what it's all about. I'm not hyping it. No Lamborghini YouTube advertisements. But at the show, I've also learned, I keep meeting the same suppliers I buy from. I met them, I go visit them, I try to build relationships. You know, like you said, we don't talk about price right away. Talk about the terms, talk about the trust, the relationship, because it's almost like a business partner relationship. Also, I agree with him. There's a lot of Spanish people, Russian people, more than I remember, less Western, like American or other European countries. So it's definitely a global economy now. And the world is changing. We got to keep adapting and stay on top of our toes, keep it growing. So I hope these help you. I really appreciate you for watching or listening. And that's it for today. Talk later. Bye-bye.
To get more info about running an international business, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.